everyone, and welcome back to MetalHeadRadio.com, where only the strong survive. I'm your host today, DJ Lovely Laura. I have a very special guest with me today, live from California. I'm talking about guitar player Robert Zarzo of the 80s rock band Hurricane. Now, these guys are going to be out on tour this year for 2011, and they're also in the recording studio working on the brand new CD. So let's welcome Robert Zarzo. Hey, Robert, what's going on?
How are you? How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. So great to talk to you this morning. Thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm right here right now in L.A., and it's just beautiful weather. It's just, you know, it's nice. It's good. The rain went away.
That's great. We're getting, like, our first winter storm over here in Texas, so we just got our first day of snow yesterday.
Well, that's nice. I miss the snow. I used to live in New Jersey in Paramus, so I used to, you know, really look forward to the snow, and yeah, it was just a lot of fun.
All right, so you guys, I love the band Hurricane. I remember you guys back in the 80s, and you guys just kick ass. I mean, totally. And so I want to go back, before we go into what's going on now, let's go back in time and tell me how you guys got started with this band.
What's this, the new Hurricane?
No, with the old Hurricane, back in the 80s.
Oh, back in the 80s, wow. Well, how far back do you want to go?
Well, when you first got together with all the guys in the band and you guys first put that first record out.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let me, I first met Tony Cavazzo, my writing partner also, through Kevin DeBrell from Quiet Riot. And what happened was that with a tragic accident of Randy Rhoads, Ozzy, my brother was playing, Rudy Sargent was playing with Ozzy at the time. I was living in New Jersey.
Right.
And I had already toured with a band called The Empire, and we were already on Arista Records, and we were doing the arena tours. And what happened was Randy passed away, and Ozzy and Sharon called me, and they flew me here to Los Angeles to, you know, just try out and, you know, see if I can help out finishing up the tour. And at the time, I didn't know, but there must have been like 30 other guitar players, because I was just locking myself up in the room and just, you know, learn the material.
Right.
And just, you know, hang out with my brother, which I, you know, I loved dearly. And I was just really just very sad about what had happened. I was one of my brother's, you know, best friends and bandmate. And, you know, it was just a very tragic thing to happen.
Right.
The family and everyone. So anyway, I'm laying all the material, and then after a week later, Ozzy got back from the David Letterman show, and we ran over the set, we went over it, and Ozzy's like, okay, you know, you're in the band. So
wow.
I was in the, I was going to finish up the Blizzard of Oz tour. We were talking, Ozzy and I, about the equipment, what kind of pedal boards I was going to use, what kind of equipment I was going to need, because 4 days later, we were going to be at the Madison Square Garden in New York.
Right.
To continue the tour. At the same time, I mean, it's like, wow, this is, it's cool, but it's not a cool, like, wow, this is great, because it was never really my gig. It was just something that I was just trying to do to help out and continue their commitment that they had. And at the same time, I mean, someone had just passed away that it was, you know, it's just everybody's friend in the band. So it was just a very hard time for everybody, Sharon and Ozzy and, so anyway, next day we were ready to leave and go back east, and then we find out that Bernie Tomei had been flown from England and told by, this is what I understand, that told by Don Arden that he was hired.
Wow.
To finish up the tour, and nobody knew about it. So it was just a very confusing time, and he already had gotten paid in advance, so I flew back. And I decided, wow, I really loved L.A. because I had never been to Los Angeles, even though I really had done tours around the country. So I sold the house in New Jersey that I had. And I think I was like 23 years old at the time because I was doing session work with Jimmy Iovine back in New York City. So I was already, you know, established as a session player over there doing film scores with Robert Stigwell for the movie Times Square.
Mm-hmm.
So, sold the house and moved here to California, and through Kevin DeBrow, I met Tony Cavazzo. But I had already, when I started Hurricane, because I'm from Miami, so when I had that concept of the name Hurricane, because I remember, you know, growing up, Hurricane is very powerful, but you know, source of energy.
Right.
What's the name? You know, for any band, as all the listeners know, you know, a lot of your players, one of the hardest things is to come up with an original name for and something that's cool, and you can brand it with other elements. And so anyway, sort of Hurricanes, I through this whole vision, I'm auditioning for other bands here in L.A., and like, it wasn't really what I was looking for. I wanted to be something more melodic. So, I mean, I've had a lot of other singers before Mick Kelly, other drummers before Jay, even other bass players before Tony. But when Tony and I connected, I knew that, you know, we were, like, perfect for each other, and that was going to be part of the Hurricane vision that I had, you know, back from the beginning. So Tony and I mean, we co-wrote the song Hurricane by ourselves in Santa Monica. And then we were still listening, you know, looking for other singers. And then we had met John Sheard, the English drummer. And he joined up with the band. And then he told us about the singer, Kelly Hansen, that he was playing, I think, Top 40 in the area. So we went to see him. I think it was like a Red Onion Club or something like that. It was called. It was like a chain. And Kelly was doing all the Top 40 stuff, like Foreigner, Journey, you know. And I was like, wow, that's you know, what I want to hear, you know, something melodic but heavy.
Right.
Heavy metal. So Kelly joined us, and then we continued working on the EP. And then well, we decided to change drummers, and that's when we met Jay. And Jay was the last piece of, you know, the Hurricane that everybody really recognizes. That was Kelly, Jay, myself, and Tony. And we worked on the EP. And at the time, people weren't really looking for that sound, because, you know, it was just... L.A. had a much heavier sound, and we were a little different. We were more like, almost like progressive fusion metal.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you let us all loose, I mean, we could be playing like stuff like Magic Orchestra. And so anyway, that's the beginning of Hurricane, and then we got picked up through Green World, and then it turned into Enigma with EMI distribution, and that's the first Headbangers Ball video that we did. That was Hurricane by Hurricane. And that was the first song that Tony and I wrote. So that was out on Headbangers Ball on MTV. That was, you know, that was great.
Yeah.
From there on, we just kept going and kept going and kept going. So basically what Tony and I are doing is we're going back towards, like, the beginning. And we're going to be playing the songs that we have created, you know, from album 1 and 2, Take What You Want and Over the Edge. And also we're going to be going to the studio and record new songs we already have.
That's awesome. It's going to be great. So Deano from Tacoma, Washington wants to know, how do you think the new singer's voice will do with the classic Hurricane songs?
The new singer, Andrew Freeman?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he sounds amazing. He's got the timbre of Kelly. Kelly's an excellent vocalist. So it was really... tricky. I have been, Tony and I, we've been like really searching and looking around in a very relaxed manner, you know, like for the next lineup for Hurricane. So Andrew fits in just right. He plays also guitar. You know, he used to, he went out on tour playing guitar and singing with Offspring.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been around, really, really nice guy. And he's hitting all the notes. He also sounds a little bit like Ronnie Dio.
Oh, awesome.
And one of my favorite vocalists, you know. Yeah, so it's great. And then Mike Hansen playing drums. He played with Lynch Mob album, along with Freeman also. Andrew also sang with Lynch Mob.
Yes.
And also Mike Hansen, the drummer, played with Steve Vai. He's played with a lot of people. I mean, when he was 11, he played on the Hee Haw Show.
Really? I remember that.
Yeah, he grew up in the music industry. His father's a guitarist. And so, yeah, he's a great guy, too. Excellent drummer. So, yeah, the band sounds heavy. Sounds really, really good.
Was he actually on the show, in the show, or was he, like, playing music in the background, or what was he doing?
Who's that?
The one that did the Hee Haw Show, Mike Hansen?
Yeah, he was only 11 years old, so he
said, okay.
He was playing with all the great guitarists back, and, you know, he grew up playing with these people, so the communication that he has with us playing, especially the other day at rehearsal, he was saying, you know, I'm watching your hands. He really follows the guitar players, and that's kind of like the formula I've always had in my past when I grew up playing is, you know, communicating with everybody in the band, like jamming. I grew up playing with my brother Rudy Farzo, and we have always been in jam bands. I mean, back in the day, in the late 70s, that's what you did. You played till 4 o'clock in the morning, and you better jam because you catch out all these songs. So we would take, we were doing, cover material, and we would take a song, and, I would cue in. I would go into the solo, and I would stretch the solo that was normally probably like, maybe 15 seconds. I'll probably turn it into a 5-minute guitar solo. And then I always have to cue at the end of the solo to cue everybody. It's like, okay, I'm done.
Right.
Just jam. Yeah.
So you and Tony Cavazzo stayed friends all these years, I guess, right?
No, we haven't. Tony moved to Tennessee, to Nashville and Memphis, and he was there for about 10 years, playing over there and doing other stuff. I believe he was doing country music, and I stayed here in L.A., and I was producing hip-hop artists and working with rappers, gangster rappers. And and then that's when I decided to open up my own recording studio, Sarzo Recording Studios. .com, and that's what I've been doing, sessions for other people and producing. So, no, we haven't, we connected through Facebook, we haven't...
Oh, okay.
Just connected like a year ago.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, and it's family, so when him and I together, and there's a past there, there's an amazing bond.
Yes. So this recording studio, this is over, is that over in Sherman Oaks, California?
It's in Sherman Oaks, California. It's a multi-million-dollar recording complex. And I produce artists out of there. I do session work out of there. I do film scores. If anybody wants to, send a demo or is looking for, session players, because what I do is I have people email me their tracks from all over the world.
Uh-huh.
And then I play guitar on it, and I send it back to them. And we have the SSL board, the big G4 4000 board in there, and we got three tracking rooms in there. And if anybody wants to get in touch with us or with me, they can send an email to sarzostudios with an S at gmail.com. And if they want to look up the studio, it's sarzorecordingstudios.com, but it's studios with an S at the end .com.
Mm-hmm.
And I can even give you the phone number if you want to call
sure.
All the information. It's area code 818-935-5359.
818-935-5359?
5359, yeah. And that's our, number for the studio. And then they can book, if they want a VIP tour or something like that. But, yeah, I've been doing film scores, and... it's something that always kind of fooled around with. Back in 1980, I worked in the movie Times Square. That was a Robert Stickler production. And that was Jimmy Iovine. I was doing work with Jimmy Iovine in New York City at the record plant and Shelly Yaka's engineering. And I got called in to record with the band I was working with at the time, The Old Byron, and also with Don Jeffries. So I did cues on that movie, and then Chainsaw Massacre 3, we had one of our songs in there, Spark in My Heart, and also I produced, my first real production as a producer was the Monster Mash, remake on that, and that's in the original soundtrack.
Uh-huh, awesome.
And I had I had CeCe DeVille play guitar, solo with me, it was myself, Tommy Ballen. I mean, if you look at the credits, a lot of great guitarists in there. It's about 8 of us, and then I turned all those solos into one crazy solo. It was really a lot of fun. I had a big choir, and it's the Monster Mash, a great remake. But recently, I did the music part of the score for The Collector, which Marcus Dongstan. He wrote Saw. All your listeners out there, fans of Saw, he wrote 4, 5, and 6, and Saw 3D, Marcus Dunstan. He created a new character called The Collector, and that was out in the movies last year. It's probably right now on pay-per-view and rental. So the sequel of that is called The Collection.
The Collection. What's The Collector about? Did you ever actually watch the movie?
Which one?
The Collector, the first one?
The Collection?
The first one, The Collector.
Did I watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did the music. I watched the movie, I did a lot of killing sounds in there, blowing the guitar, and I used my electric guitar is the PVHD. There's a lot of crazy sounds, and that's an amazing guitar that I'm playing right now, the PV, and then I used a lot of the effects from Line 6. I used the Line 6 amplifiers and Bachner's, the Bachner Line 6, an amazing amp. So, yeah, there's a lot of sustaining in there, just really eerie stuff, but...
Sounds like fun.
Yeah, that was fun. I've always been fascinated with Halloween, and always make my own tapes to scare the kids when they come over to my house. So.
Oh, really?
Feature film. You know, so, I really enjoy that. And then I also worked, did some composing on The Bliss, which is an Indian movie. It was done last year, which was released in Asia and India. It's one of those Bollywood movies. And I worked on that as well, too. So I've been doing, you know, out of my studio, I've been doing a lot of film scoring. And I'm always looking for new films, new projects, or a new artist.
It's so funny. One of your fans in the chat room was saying, when you were talking about working with the gangster rappers, that they were saying, please tell me there will be no rapping on the new CD.
No, it's... going to be very
you don't have to worry about that.
Very metal. It's going to continue sounding like Hurricane. It really is. It's going to be heavy, real heavy.
So have you guys got the new album written already?
A lot of the songs already written. There were songs that were still left over from demos that even songs like Hurricane came out of, and Take What You Want. A lot of the songs are written, and I'm also looking forward to writing with Mike Hansen and Andrew and Tony, because we have a lot of ideas, and these guys are amazing musicians. So it's just going to be really interesting to collaborate with them and, you know, come up with, you know, and totally, you know, different melodies. And, you know, yeah, it's just, I'm really looking forward to going to the studio with them, but we first have to really totally gel doing what Tony and I did back in the 80s.
Right.
That's what we asked for. Once we get that sound, then we can go forward.
You know, there's a lot of speculation on what happened about when you were not in the band anymore. So why don't you clear that up and tell us what happened, Robert?
Why I wasn't in the band?
Yeah. Did you leave the band?
No, I was fired from the band.
Fired from the band? Didn't you start the band?
Yeah, well, I did not protect myself in the right way. It's just one of those things. When I started the band, even though Tony and I, we did a lot of the writing, the material from the first record, I gave everybody equal share, even of the writing.
Wow.
So, you know, it's just one of those things, you take a chance, and, you know, and, yeah, it's just, it was weird. I think what happened was everybody started going to different directions musically, And I just did not protect myself, you know, properly. And then the label was getting a little rocky, you know, Enigma. And eventually, they sold it. But, yeah, it was just a lot of changes, a lot of stuff going on at the same time. And, you know, it's just really bizarre. Yes. One day I walked in, I was like, oh, okay, they don't want me anymore.
God, that's heart-wrenching. So is that one of the reasons, because I read up that they released a reunion album in 2001, The Liquify, is that why you weren't on that?
Yeah, probably, yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah. I feel like that never happened. But, you know, things happen for a reason, so I don't look back, I look forward. You know, and I wish everybody the best, and, you know, I guess everybody's doing what they want to do right now, so it's cool.
So this is a big project for you, Robert. I mean, you're getting your baby back. You're getting your band back. This is all yours now, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I didn't want to touch it for many years. It is the 25th year anniversary that Tony and I started this band.
Wow, 25 years.
And, you know, one of the things is because I just really got into producing and really getting into the studio work, which I love. But then I miss, you know, people have asked me to go on stage with them, and I miss being on stage, it's, I guess it's like an actor in theater.
Right.
Is that immediate response. And mm-hmm. Especially being a top leader, you know, it's just, it's a very emotion, I think, to go on stage and open yourself up, you know, to the audience. And spiritually, you have to connect with the audience. You got to look into everybody's eyes, and you've got to open up and open up your soul and communicate with everybody, let them all in. Because it just becomes like a numbering. You give, you get, give, you get. And that's the beauty of being live in an audience. And I saw that recently, one of my favorite singers, it's just not deep, my favorite singer, is Adam Lambert.
Really? I love Adam Lambert. I really do. My daughter just saw him like a few months ago. She really likes him. I think he's great.
Oh, he's an amazing. He's a showman. He's got it down. He knows what theater is about and stage is theater. So I saw him a couple of weeks ago. I was like, yeah, this is, yeah, that's, you know, that's what he should be. He's an amazing singer. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he is. He's really awesome. I didn't get to go to that one. I let her take her friend that night, but that was kind of an early birthday present for her. But she absolutely just, I think that was her first concert, too.
Really? Oh, my God. She must have loved it. Yeah, he's just, yeah, the band was great. Yeah, the real thing.
All right, so I have a question. I know that model Bobby Brown was in one of your videos. I'm on to you back in the day. Was anybody in the band kind of dating or going out with her at that time?
No, not at all. No, it was just very professional. Everybody had their girlfriends, wives. She was just hired to do the video, and she was picked. She was brand new in town. And we wanted somebody that had, you know, that whole look, that whole innocence, and she was perfect for it.
Awesome. All right, so another fan wants to know if you guys are going to be playing anything off of the Slave to the Throat or Liquify live album on your new tour.
Say that again, I'm sorry. The five albums, what?
Are you guys going to play anything off of the Slave to Thrill or Liquify album?
No. Nothing? No, we're just going to be playing from Take What You Want. And from Over the Edge. Yeah, okay. We're going to definitely be doing, we have a new remake of Over the Edge. That's great.
Oh, really?
Very, very modern, very dark, very heavy. Yeah, it's really intense. And I'm on to you. We're going to be playing Girls Are Out Tonight.
Love that one. Just played that.
Take What You Want. I love Take What You Want. Insane. Insane is a great. I mean, there's a lot in the first and second. There's a lot of good songs in there.
Sounds great. So you guys recording in your studio right now?
We're laying down some ideas and doing a lot of rehearsals. But yeah, we're going to be recording it. We're going to be producing it. And the most important thing, what we're doing right now, is getting a really nice, solid show.
Right.
Our show, or maybe even an hour and a half show. And to just capture that whole energy.
Right.
So I'm working with some great companies with TV. I'm working with Line 6. So I'm going to be doing a lot of MIDI guitar again like I was doing before. And I was doing a lot of orchestration like It's Only Heaven we're going to be playing. There was no synthesizers in that. I did all of that on bowing the guitar.
Yeah, are you going to bow the guitars again?
What's that?
Are you going to do the violin bow again?
Yep, I'm going to. I've been playing violin. I've been practicing the violin, but I'm going to be doing it on the guitar. So I'll be bowing in and using all the old analog sounds. So it's not all totally MIDI, but I'm also going to mix it a little bit with MIDI, which is a musical instruments digital interface. That's what it stands for. You can use other strings, but I like to control my own. Sounds, analog sounds, and I use two bands, and it's cool. So that sounds pretty, really cool.
So how were you able to take back the name and the band again from Enigma?
Well, Enigma closed, and everybody, Kelly and Jay have used the name Hurricane, and Antonio and I are using it, too. And we asked Jay also if he wanted to do it with us, and he said he asked Kelly, but, Kelly has commitments, and Jay is doing other things as well.
Yeah, I heard Kelly's doing the new Foreigner now.
Yeah,
I haven't even heard it yet. Have you heard it?
I've heard it on the radio. It sounds great.
Well, that's a great band to be a part of. I'm telling you, I love that band.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, great band. You know, all the players in the band, they're all, you know, excellent players.
I think it's just so amazing that you were so close to play with Ozzy, because I would have never known that unless I read your brother's book, Off the Rails. So that was an interesting story. And you don't talk about that much, you said.
I never told anybody.
Why? I don't understand. I mean, that's a part of your history, really.
Well,
Rudy talked about it.
Well, it was a very sad circumstance.
Yeah, that's true.
And yeah, it's just, you know, he should have not passed. He should have, you know, he was just a great person, great player, and I really learned while I was learning his recordings from a live recording that I had on cassette tape back in the day. One of my shows, because I love all those Blizzard of Oz songs.
Oh yeah, me too.
I just loved it, and you got to remember then it was just Ozzy wasn't what he is now.
Right.
Ozzy was just
getting started.
Getting started as a solo artist. So it was just another band, and it was just something that I felt I wanted to do, to be there, especially be there for my brother. And I always enjoyed playing with my brother, and it was just something that I knew was not going to be permanent. It was just something to finish up, something that somebody else started.
Right.
I never talked about it. No one. Until my brother brought it up, and I was like, oh, yeah, I did do that.
Yeah, I can do that. Well, yeah. Ozzy did have his Black Sabbath roots a little bit, so I think it was a little established, but I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Bob says a solo artist, yeah. You know, everybody, I mean, it was Randy, he just came out of Quiet Riot, and, yeah, so it was all fresh and new, you know, back then,
You know, Randy studied classical music, and I think I read that you study a lot of classical music as well.
I grew up listening to a lot of classical, Beethoven, Tchaikovsky. My uncle, Sergio Sarzo, at the time, he was a classical pianist and opera singer. So I grew up with the understanding of and the passion of the, you know, Beethoven, Tchaikovsky, Paganini, and all these great composers. So as a young boy, I decided to, you know, to teach myself guitar. And then I, in school, high school, I took classical, and then privately I took classical music, and then I fiddled around with the violin, and yeah, I played flute. I can play a little bit of flute. In school, I study tuba, and yeah, I've always loved music. I've been very good with numbers, so I understand the concept of numerical patterns of, you know, structure of songs and formulas, and because, you know, it's all numbers. It's all, you know, structure. How you structure even a radio song is how you produce it, how you put it together. But it's all formulas.
Right.
And then there's patterns of, you know, of verses and intros. And it's changed a little bit since the 80s, but it's still it's pretty much of the old formula, you know, for radio songs and album songs. Very interesting. Music is really an interesting formula.
Now, you and Rudy both played guitar at first. I know he played guitar before he played bass. So did you get inspired by him, or did you guys both start playing around the same time? Because you're younger than Rudy, right?
I'm 4 years younger. This is what happened. We were in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And my parents, I don't know, we must have seen the Ed Sullivan Show with the Beatles, and we were like, oh, wow, this is great. You know, the girls are screaming, and it's like, you know, it's... very interesting to see all that excitement, and we had just gotten here from Cuba, so this everything is new to us, the language, you know, we were in New York, New Jersey, so my brother ordered, my parents bought him a Silvertone guitar, acoustic guitar, through Spiegel magazine. You know, they used to sell things, you know, catalog stuff over the mail. So my parents bought him the first guitar, and he started playing it. So it was there, it was in the room, so I'm like, wow, that's kind of cool. And then I remember my uncle doing, you know, playing piano, and that was already in my brain. So when we moved to Miami from New Jersey, everybody in the neighborhood had a guitar. So I built my first guitar from, I had, baseball cards that I was trading, you know, parts for. Then I could pick up this and that, and yeah, so I built my first guitar, and then my parents bought me a harmony guitar, a copy of Les Paul, and so, yeah, you know, like a year later, we were all playing, you know, musical instruments, and then my brother, from the neighborhood, needed a bass player, and he goes, hey, you know, there were two guitar players, so then he wanted, you know, a third guitar player, so they asked my brother, well, you want to play bass? He goes, yeah, sure. So they told him, he says, yeah, the bass is actually two strings less than what we're doing. So he removed the two strings from a regular guitar and started playing bass on it. And then I, you know, then on and bought a bass guitar. He's been playing bass ever since, but he plays guitar also.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Now, you're endorsing PV guitars, but you have a lot of Ibanezes. What's the deal there?
No, I don't have Ibanez anymore.
Got rid of those?
Yeah, I don't have those. A lot of them I gave away back. Through KNAC, and I was always giving things away over the air, and yeah.
Oh, that's
great. Yeah, these TV guitars, the HP, they're handcrafted. They're amazing. They're just amazing. That's all I'm playing electric right now, and it's just the sustaining on it, the balance of the between the neck and the body is just right. And the pickups, they have two humbucking pickups, and they're mounted right into the wood. So you really get that intense vibration of the wood. There's no springs. So that's, yeah, and it's got the whammy bar with the locking system. So, yes, it's a great shredding guitar.
You think it's going to have a different sound playing that now with the new Hurricane?
Not really, no. Because I think the sound, a lot of it comes from your hands. So it's just what you hear and the way that you strike the strings and the synthetic harmonics and the way you mute the strings and the way you do the voicing of the chord structure, that's really giving it melodic sound.
I love that melodic sound. It's great.
It's fuller and it's good. And we tune a half step lower, but I'm going to start tuning to D, and some of the guitars are tuned to C also, so it's a little heavier. I love that deep sound, and now with all the stereo systems that everybody has, they can handle the subwoofers. You know, in the 80s, they didn't have the subwoofers, and now we do. So in the studio, when I produce, I always mix in mind that, people are going to have that low end, so I want them to hear it. So the spectrum of the mix is totally different. It's just, a lot of highs, a lot of lows, and it just opens up that mix. But I just finished producing for the Sinbad, the comedian Sinbad.
Oh, yeah.
Like Floyd. I had him in the studio, though, and then I mixed. They're on iTunes right now. They're for sale. That's a really great song. It's called Gangster Santa.
Gangster Santa.
Yeah, and then the other one is Ho Ho Ho, and they're on iTunes. they're great. They're funny. They're really good songs. And then I was also co-producing Meg McCarty. She's from Ireland. It's kind of like country music, but it's very pop radio. And then Ginger Kinnison. Ginger Kinnison's the niece of Sam, the late Sam Kinnison, the comedian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's great. She's really a great dancer, singer, songwriter. So I had her in the studio, and I was producing her and working with her and mixed it, and she's got also her stuff out on iTunes.
That sounds amazing. Now, you guys are putting this big tour together you were talking with me about earlier, and you guys want to get out there, you said, and tour before you guys actually put out the brand new CD. Have you got some bands that you guys may kick it off out there with, or some places where you guys are going to play yet?
Well, we're right now lining everything up with one of the agencies. So I was going to be in Europe, and it's going to be here in the States, and I'm sure we'll probably go back to Japan.
Oh, awesome.
So we'll be doing, but we're working on doing the festival touring.
Have you guys been to Europe before?
I have not gone to Europe. I'm really looking forward to it. I've been to Japan, Canada. I would love to play in Cuba. That's something else also that I would like to put together. It's a concert to give back to the people there and have kind of like a festival concert on one day or a weekend. But I will have to discuss this with the government over there and our government here at the White House.
Yeah.
So if any business out there, you're involved with the White House, I would love to put something like that together. But every band will have to have one Cuban. Cuban blood, at least one person. Like, I believe Bon Jovi's band, Tico, is, I believe the drummer is Cuban also. And I talked to Juan, a friend of mine from Rad, the original bass player from Rad.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he'll do it. You know, he's got his own new project now. And, you know, I think it will be great. I would love to play Havana.
You know, I want to say congratulations. I know that you just got married about a year ago. And you and your wife are doing some incredible things for animals. So tell me about that, a little bit about that.
Well, my wife and I, we rescue dogs. And what we do is we go to the towns and we try to, you know, give them a new home. So, the last one that we rescued was here in Van Nuys, California. It was an 11-year-old Pomeranian. And while I'm trying to fill out the paperwork, they're like, well, she's got a bad heart. She can't see well, this and that, a bad teeth. And they're like trying to talk me out of it. I'm like, you know what? If I can give her a few good years, you know, bring her to me. You know, I want her. You know, took her in and she's got a lot of energy. She's a really cute little black Pomeranian. So, I have become a vegan with my wife and we just are not into the torturing of the livestock, the way that they're abusing all these animals. So if it has a face, if it's breathing, I don't want to eat it. They're being really cruel to all the livestock.
Yeah, that's true.
The chickens, the pigs, the cows, everything. It's just about the money. And, I feel that as an artist, I'm in the music business really not for the money. If I wanted to be, you know, if I was in it for the money, I would have hit the, Wall Street, you know, the stock market. I would have gotten more into the finance part of it, of life. But I decided I want to be an artist. I'm doing it for the passion and the love, and just being cruel to all the livestock.
Yeah, okay. It's hard.
And I wish I could rescue all the dogs.
I know.
Crazy. I love pit bulls. I've had pit bulls sleep in the bed with me that I have rescued. They just showed up in my house and I take them in. And they were like the lovable animal. I mean, it's just beautiful. I mean, of course, some of them, they hurt, you know, but they're strong. So it depends, you know, how people raise them. But a lot of them are just, you know, great, great animals. I've had Rottweiler. I found him a new home, a 135-pound Rottweiler sweetheart. So he's in a happy family now in Orange County, and I wish I had the facilities to take, you know, hundreds of them.
Yeah.
Maybe someday. That's really my dream. I really want to do that.
You need to
rent somewhere here in Topanga Canyon and take them all in.
That's a great thing you're doing. You just need to get a big ranch.
That's what I want to do, and then put my studio there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Why not? I mean, why not? Exactly. Yeah. So, I just can't do it all by myself, so that's why I'm like one thing at a time.
Right.
Yeah.
Are you still into the big car collecting?
Oh, I was really into all the race cars and Lotus, and my son and I, he's in the management part of the music industry. So him and I, we started this passion of collecting cars and, you know, big rims, and we take it to car shows, put them in magazines and covers, and rent them out for films. But now we're kind of just laying low on that. We really are focusing on the industry and the entertainment industry and the film part of it. And then he's got his management company. It's called Sarsu Management Group. And that's what we're doing right now. Cars are fun. I mean, they're really, like, especially when you're going real fast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love fast cars.
Dangerous, too, especially if you're going on a Lotus and you're doing 140 miles and the thing weighs, you know, 1,700 pounds.
It's great that your son is working with you. Is he playing any instruments or in a band himself?
No, he's his manager is in the music industry, entertainment industry, and management and business. So he, you know, he's always had his guitars and drums, but he just rather be in the back end of it, in the business part.
Right. That's good to have, though.
Oh, it's great. It's a great combination. Yeah.
Well, a lot of your fans are definitely want to see you over here in the States this year, like Rocklahoma, Rockin' America, and maybe in the Seattle area. So you guys try to make it over there.
Oh, we will. We will definitely be there. We're all very excited about this, and it's like it was back at the beginning. It's very exciting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm excited. I know your fans are excited.
Feels good.
Well, I am really just happy for you guys. Good to see this new lineup in order now, and I can't wait to hear your new stuff. So I want to thank you so much, Robert. It's always a pleasure, you know, to have someone as great as you on the show, and just a pleasure to talk with you. Are you there?
Yes, I was saying thank you.
Well, say something out there to your fans real quick before we take off out of here. We got some more music to play. Definitely going to play some more Hurricane for the listeners out there.
Well, I'm going to the National, the NAMM, it's called the NAMM Show, the National Association of Music Merchants, this weekend.
Yeah.
So I'll be there, and I'll call you from the NAMM Show, and I'll give you some insights of new products that are coming out and who's there. And you know, as you know, everybody, most people are going to be there from the whole world, all the musicians and actors, and so I'll call you from there and I'll let you know what's going on.
Oh, that's going to be great. I can't wait for that. Yeah, be sure to let me know what day you're going to call in.
Okay, either Friday or Saturday. I'll see what's happening. Anything exciting, I'll call you.
Oh, that sounds great. Well, you have a great time out there.
Thank you. And, yeah, we'll be rocking you guys. If anybody wants any information about the studio, you know, just go ahead and email us at sarzostudios@gmail.com or look it up on the website, which is sarzorecordingstudios.com.
Now, you guys don't have a Hurricane Facebook, do you? You guys going to put one up now?
Oh, we will. We'll put it all. This is all like we're right at the beginning of it all. So it's very exciting, and we're going to have the Facebook, we're going to have everything. We already have something going on with the merchandising company because I'm designing the T-shirts. I want it to be like really soft, like vintage T-shirts.
Oh.
I don't like the square T-shirts. I want stuff that I feel like wearing
when I'm
not on stage.
That's a good idea.
So I've always loved fashion, and my wife is a fashion designer, so we... I love all that Italian fashion and English fashion, so I'm going to be designing some really cool merchandising, you know, so we can sell and, you know, and put it up on the web and, you know, instead of just being a regular boring box T-shirt.
Oh, yeah, those don't fit right, especially for women with curves now.
Yeah, I want something that feels good that you can actually use it as pajamas and take it to bed and, you know, it's be comfortable stuff.
Yeah, that sounds great. And you have a wife who's going to help you, who does that kind of stuff, so that's awesome.
Oh, she's amazing. Yeah, she's great. Very happy.
Well, Robert, you have a blast out at NAMM. I'm going to be talking to you real soon. Just hold on 1 second, all right?
Okay.
All right, everyone. Once again, that's guitarist Robert Sarzo of the 80s rock band Hurricane. And I hope you guys had a great time listening to the interview today. If you missed it or you just came in halfway through, I'm going to have it posted up there on the podomatic.com here later on this afternoon. Once again, you can contact him for Sarzo Recording Studios over there. Call him directly at 818-935-5359. Be looking out for the brand new tour coming up for 2011 and the brand new CD. All right, let's play some more Hurricane. This is It's Only Heaven.